Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
I feel happy they came to the Lord and they've been saved. They've been delivered. We've been brought out of the kingdom of darkness. Isn't that right? Oh, it's so wonderful, so awesome to not be in the dark anymore, to be in the light of God's word, the light of the truth, no longer to be deceived by the devil any longer. He is under our feet, and now the veil has been lifted, and God is showing us things more and more and more and more, and in his light, we are seeing more light, and I love the light. I love the light. Now, there's a lot of folks that don't love the light. Jesus talks about people that hate the light, and they don't want to come to the light because their deeds are evil. And if they come to the light, then their evil deeds are going to be seen. They're going to be made manifest. But we want to see according to reality. We want to know the truth about ourselves. If there's something that's not right, then we want to see it. We want to know about it, and we want to deal with it. We want that purged out of our life, because we've got confidence in the working of God in our life. So God's doing the work. The Christian life is just one big rest. That's the Christian life. It's just one big rest. And that's what happens. You get in faith about true Christianity and what it's all about. You just rest. You rest and you let the Spirit of God do the work in and through you, which means you have to yield yourself to him. We do have a part to play in this. It's not sitting back and saying, oh, God's just doing everything. No, God is doing everything in us and through us. And so that means it's going to take our cooperating with God, our yielding to him. But as we do, he does the work. So like I've said before, we're just here for the ride. We're just coming along for the ride. And it's an enjoyable ride. It's a ride from faith to faith, glory to glory. And things are getting brighter and brighter and brighter for us. We're seeing things better and better and better. Things are getting clearer and clearer and clearer because we're getting further and further and further from that old way of thinking when we were living in darkness. But according to Colossians 1:13, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. That's where we are tonight. We are in the kingdom of the Son of God's love. It's a love kingdom. It's a love kingdom. Amen. And so we're just experiencing the love of God and just enjoying the light, walking in the light of God's word. Colossians 2:10 says that you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. And again, we just talked about how we were delivered from the powers of darkness. And so Jesus is over all. He is over the powers of darkness. All things have been made subject to him. He is King of kings. He is Lord of lords. And you and I are called to rule and reign with him in life. And like we talked about, when Jesus came and defeated the powers of darkness, the Bible says in Colossians 2:15 that he spoiled them. He spoiled principalities and powers, the powers of darkness. He spoiled them, made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in his resurrection. Hallelujah. So he spoiled them. Spoiled them. I just love that. That means he plundered. He plundered the darkness. Of all that Satan stole from humanity, Jesus went and took it all back. Took it all back. And now he says to us to just go ahead and enjoy it and divide it among the brethren. And we see the type and shadow of that in the Old Testament in the book of Joshua. Joshua is a type of Jesus. And he goes after they went into the promised land and dispossessed the wicked inhabitants of those lands. They went in and they just took all the treasures of that land. And Joshua said in Joshua 22:8, he said, divide the spoil of your enemies. This is what he says to the children of God. And again, this is a type of what we enjoy today with Jesus Christ. This is what Jesus is saying to us today, what Joshua said to the children of Israel after they took possession of the promised land. He said, divide the spoil of your enemies with your brethren. And what were those spoils? Much riches, very much livestock, silver, gold, bronze, iron, and ladies, watch this, very much clothing. Amen. And so Jesus plundered the darkness for us. Glory be to God. And now it's up to you and I to just go ahead, divide the spoil. Praise God. Enjoy what he has provided for us. And someone says, but how do we get our hands on it? How do we do that? And it's very, very simple. And we've discussed this. And it's, we can sum it up in two words. Only believe. Only believe. Something Jesus said time and time again. Only believe. Don't be afraid of lack. Don't be in anxiety. Don't be anxious about anything in life. If you're believing, you're not going to be anxious about anything in life. You're not going to be in fear about anything. Fear is what blocks up the blessings of God from flowing into our life, from manifesting in our life. Because fear is the opposite of faith. How many people believe that? That fear will stop blessings from being able to manifest in your life. Fear will block the favor of God from shining on your life. Yeah, fear will cut off the blessings of God. And it seems like it's easy for people to believe that. They can grasp that. They can see that. But friend, fear is the opposite of faith. And so, if you get over into faith and you get out of the fear that's blocking the blessing and you get over into faith, well, then glory be to God. Guess what's going to happen? The blessings of God are going to flow freely to you. They're going to flow through you. I'm talking about all the provision, all the great things that Jesus secured for us. All the things that he plundered the darkness of and provided for us. It will come into manifestation in our life if we move from fear into faith, into only believing. Faith is so powerful. The more I meditate on the subject of faith, the more I look at faith, the more I just fall in love with faith. I just absolutely love faith. But you know, that's becoming more like God also, because God loves faith. In fact, the Bible says without faith, it's impossible to even please God. You can't even please him without faith. That's how much God esteems and loves faith. And as you get in there and you look at the subject of faith, as you look at faith, you'll get more and more excited about it too. Hallelujah. Faith materializes the word of God. It materializes the promises of God. It materializes the blessing of God. It materializes the glory of God. It causes what is written, which is the purpose plan of God, to be manifested in our life. God wants his word to materialize. God wants his word to be manifested. That's his desire. And that needs to be our desire too. We don't want to just settle for a teaching and just learning principles. We want God's word to manifest in our life. And everything that we're talking about, when we get into faith about it and we're not wavering any longer and we're not doubting any longer and we're not fearful any longer, when we get over into genuine faith and just park it there, just park it there, just abide there. Because I think sometimes we back into faith. We'll move over into faith, but we don't stay there very long. You know, people get itchy. They get antsy, you know. And they stay in faith for a little while. And then they pull out of faith. And they can't stay parked. They just can't stay parked very long. They just feel like, I got to do something. I got to make something happen. I got to get busy. I'm resting too much. I shouldn't just be sitting here and believing. I've got to do something. I've got to go somewhere. I got to make something happen. The time is going by. See, folks get antsy. And they can't stay parked in faith very long. And just about the time angels are coming and things are happening, things are moving from the unseen into the seen, because that's what faith does. It moves things from the unseen into the seen. Not just anything, but it brings the things of God. It brings the things of God from the unseen into the seen. Just about the time, it's just about to show up. Somebody's about to walk up to the window of your vehicle, your faith vehicle, and knock on the window and say, "Here it is." They're just about to show up. And that's when people pull out. And people just rush off to try to make it happen and set themselves back a few more years. And wonder, why, when, where is it? I've been believing. I was believing and I've been believing it. Well, no, you were believing, and yes, you have been believing at times. But just about the time what you've been believing was going to show up, you pulled out of park and you started racing down the road. Huh? This is why a lot of folks aren't seeing stuff. We got to learn to believe and stay in believing. Stay in faith. Abide in that. Remain in that place of faith. The word abide in the word of God, Jesus talked a lot about us abiding in him. The word abide literally means to remain in a continual state of expectancy. To remain in a, that sounds like faith, doesn't it? Faith is expecting. To remain in a continual state of expectancy. We've got to remain in this continual state of faith. Continual state of believing. This continual state of expecting. Knowing it's going, it is exactly the way God said it is. It is exactly the way God said it is, and I'm going to walk by faith and not by sight. Tonight we would say, I'm going to park by faith and not by sight, and run away and drive away by sight. I'm going to park by faith and not drive away by sight. Just park it. Park it. Turn to somebody and tell them, park it. Yeah. Yeah, park it where? In faith. Park it in faith. Glory be to God. Tell somebody else, park it in faith. Say it like we have some conviction about you. Park it in faith. Preach it to them a little bit. Yeah. Park it in faith. Hallelujah. Because faith, if you'll remain there, will materialize the word of God. It'll materialize the truth of God's word. Notice this over here in Matthew chapter 8. This is what Jesus did while he walked the planet. He was manifesting the word of God. He was the word of God in manifestation, wasn't he? And he caused the word to be a manifestation. That's what he did. That's what he did. And it's what you and I are to do also, because now we're one with him. We're one with him. We're one with the Spirit of God. We're one with the Word of God. All right? So we're to be doing the same thing. And we see here, here's an example of it in Matthew chapter 8. And I'm going to read a little bit more than I have to, just because I enjoy it. Verse 14. Now, when Jesus had come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother lying sick with a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her. Pretty simple, isn't it? And here's this major fever, you know. And Jesus just walks in, and he touches her. And we know from the other Gospels account, he didn't just stop there. He touched her, took her by the hand, and he pulled her up. This is actually what happened when you put all the gospel accounts of this story together. He touched her hand and the fever left her. And notice, you know, the confidence of Jesus to walk in, touch her, take her by the hand, and just lift her up. Say, we're done with that. Come on. Just pull her right up. And as he just pulled her up towards him, the fever left her. Fevers don't like being around Jesus. I said, fevers don't like being around Jesus. Nothing of the devil likes to be around Jesus. So he pulled her up, probably towards himself, right? Pulled her up, and the fever went out. Glory to God. We just draw near to Jesus. Draw near to him. Draw near to him. Draw near to him in the spirit where he is. And what's happening? He's going to show up here in the physical, and there'll be no place for a fever or any kind of sickness, any kind of disease in our life. It can't stay. I said it can't stay. We got to really believe that. I mean, we got to really, really believe that. Well, we have an attitude about it. No, 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 no. That's impossible. Impossible for me to be sick. It's impossible for me to be carrying around an infirmity in my body. That's impossible for me to be oppressed. Why? Because Jesus has taken me by the heart and he has pulled me up towards him. And when you get near Jesus, how many people know being taken by the heart is a whole lot deeper and a whole lot stronger than just being taken by the hand? I mean, if this woman being taken by the hand caused a fever to leave, how much more when God has taken hold of our hearts? How much more can't fevers stick around? He says, yeah, but it has. I understand, but we must believe that it can't. We must believe that it can't. Fevers can't compete in the presence of God. Fevers can't compete in the presence of God. Sickness can't compete. We got to know God is with me. God is for me. Who? What can be against me? Don't have those discouraged looks of like, well, in the past, I've been through this. Who cares? This isn't the past. This is the present. And you're going from faith to faith, glory to glory. And it's getting brighter and brighter, better and better, easier and easier. We're seeing more and more and more. And we're going to see more tonight. Well, we were just struggling last week. This isn't last week. This is this week. And you're in this place, hearing this fresh word from heaven tonight. And things don't have to remain the same anymore from tonight on. Things can change now. Amen. Stop dragging the past into this. Let's just stay in the present and enjoy what is. And what I'm telling you tonight is, when Jesus takes you by the heart and draws you near, pulls you to himself, as he has done with us, no devil, no sickness, nothing evil can stick around. Only believe and watch them go. What? The devils. Watch them run as in terror. Bible says, resist the devil. And what's going to happen if you just resist? What do you mean resist? Stay parked. See, the devil's always going to try to push you out of park. He's always going to try to harass you, to move, to do something, but you resist moving. You resist yielding to fear. You resist yielding to that spirit, to the spirits of darkness. You resist that. And my Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Now, that's very absolute. It's very cut and dry. It's not sometimes. It will be. So we don't have to make a big deal about the devil and talk a whole lot about him or talk a lot to him. We just stay parked in faith. Faith in the Word of God. knowing God is for me. Who could be against me? I will not panic. I will not fear. I'll not run and try to bring relief to myself some other way. For God is for me. God is with me. The enemy flees from me. He cannot stay. And I like what the Amplified Bible says. It says, resist the devil and he'll flee from you as in terror. 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 You're a bunch of terrorists. That's what you are. You're a bunch of terrorists in hell, of hell. You terrorize hell. Amen. I feel like I should have a big black flag or something. Put something over my face. Devils are in, they're terrorized by you. Terrorized by you. Think about that. Terrorized. That's what the Bible says. They'll flee as in terror. I mean, take off and run just like they did with Jesus. Did they run from Jesus? I mean, Jesus, he would show up and they would cry out. What have we to do with you, Jesus? I mean, they were panic stricken when Jesus showed up. And it says, resist the devil, church, and he will flee from you. Just like he did with Jesus, the devil. He fled from Jesus, he'll flee from you. So we're learning to believe and remain in faith. Continue to believe. And know that God's got my heart. He has pulled me to himself. And now that I'm with him, I can begin to do the works that he has done. Of drawing people, picking people up, drawing them into the presence of God. Where they can be delivered, free, healed. Remember, when people get close to you, they get close to him. You believe that? I said, do you believe that? See, believe that according to the scriptures. Are you one spirit with the Lord? Okay, so then if people get near you, they get near the spirit of the Lord. Right? And where the spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. There's liberty. There's freedom. So when people get around us, they're getting close to him. And they get close to him, freedom. Freedom from what? Freedom from fevers. Freedom from oppression. Come on. Freedom from depression. Freedom. Freedom. Say there's freedom for all in my presence. Because I'm in the presence of God. God is in me. Hallelujah. Isn't that awesome? Believe that. Believe that. And we want to abide in that believing. We want to stay there. Continue to believe. He touched her hand and the fever left her. Then she arose and served them. Praise God. You can't, you know, nobody can really serve Jesus sick. And you know, how many people believe Jesus wants everybody to be able to serve him? Right? So how can we turn around and say that Jesus makes people sick to teach them something? God makes people sick to teach them something. No, they can't serve him when they're sick. And he wants everybody serving him. So they got to be healed. That's his will. Verse 16, when evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word. With a word. Sounds pretty simple, doesn't it? He cast out the spirits with a word. And I love this too, you know, verse 16. When evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed. Doesn't that sound like a real horror movie? Right? I mean, do you have to wait until the nighttime to come before you brought the demon-possessed out? Couldn't we have done this in the middle of the afternoon? And back then, there were no city lights, you understand? I mean, it was dark. It's evening. It is dark, dark, dark. So you can't even, you can't see very far, but you can hear. I mean, demons making sounds for people, you know. It's midnight. My goodness. But, you know, Jesus wasn't afraid. Actually, it was a horror flick to the devil. It was an absolute horror flick to the devil. This was like, you know, the world tries to turn around because the god of this world is the devil. He tries to turn everything around so that we're scared of the nighttime and we're scared of demons. But, no, it's the other way around. It was nighttime and they were dragging the demons to Jesus. Right? the demon possessed people going, no, 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 yes, yes, you're coming, you're coming. Come on, Charlie. You can't live like this anymore. And they drag him in there. They drag him in there, and Jesus is standing there. The moon is reflecting off of Jesus' face. His eyes are flickering fire. Oh, devils are screaming, no! This is rated R. With a violent content. Come out! Ah! Oh, praise God. He cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick. All who were sick. Verse 17. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Jesus took our infirmities. He became sin for us and he took our sinfulness. But here it says, he took our infirmities. He took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Now notice, again, in verse 17, this word fulfilled, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, as it was written back here in the Old Testament. Jesus here, by doing what he was doing, was simply fulfilling the word of God. He was simply fulfilling God's word. Now, what does this word fulfill mean? To make full. To make full. To cause to abound. To be furnished or to supply liberally. Now, again, that it might be fulfilled. So all these people are getting healed. Demons are being cast out with a word, that it might be fulfilled, that it might abound, that it might be furnished. What? The word of God that had been spoken. That the word of Isaiah, the word of God that was spoken, might be fulfilled. That the word of God might abound. Be liberally supplied. This word fulfill means to make complete, carry out, brought to realization. Brought to realization. Jesus was bringing to realization. He was bringing into reality the word of God. The word of the prophet Isaiah, which is the word of God. He was bringing it into reality. It means to bring to pass. He was bringing that word to pass. It means acted upon. Jesus was simply acting upon what Isaiah the prophet had said when he said that he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Jesus was bringing it to pass. Acted upon. He was acting upon it. Presented. Confirmed. He was confirming what Isaiah the prophet had spoken. Verified. Which means demonstrated. Demonstrated. Jesus was demonstrating Matthew. He was demonstrating what was spoken in the word. So here we got the scripture. We go back to Isaiah. What is it? Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. And where Isaiah spoke this. And Jesus is demonstrating it. Displaying it. It also means, this word fulfill means made evident. Made evident. Taken possession of. Taken possession of. He himself took our infirmities, bore our sicknesses, is something that's to be taken possession of. It's something that's to be demonstrated. It's something that's to be displayed. It's something that is to be acted upon and brought to pass. Validated. To bear out. Prove. And then also diffuse. Diffuse through one's soul or being. Throughout one's soul or being. Diffuse. Jesus was diffusing what the prophet Isaiah had spoken. He himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. In other words, Jesus was manifesting. He was manifesting Matthew 8:17. Manifesting it. How do you manifest the Word of God? Two words. Only believe. Only believe. There were times people got healed, and he just would turn to them and say, only believe. Doesn't matter how long it's been going on, how long the person's had the problem. It doesn't matter how bad it is, how bad it all seems. The cure, only believe. And in believing, we are materializing the Word of God. We are manifesting the Word of God. We are supplying liberally the Word of God. We're bringing the Word of God into reality, into this natural reality that you and I live in this world. We're bringing it to pass. Faith brings it to pass. Isn't this awesome? Faith is a manifester of the Word of God. Jesus simply believed. See, Jesus didn't do what he did because he was the Son of God. Jesus did what he did by faith in the Word of God. That's how he resisted the devil, right? The devil came to him, tempted him, and he didn't say, I'm the Son of God. Begone from me. I am all powerful. He didn't do that. He didn't do that. How did he resist the devil? He said, it is written. It is written. And the devil said, turn these stones to bread. Jesus quotes Deuteronomy, the Old Testament. What was spoken by Moses, the prophet. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Jesus manifested the word by believing it. He believed it, and he spoke it, and he didn't fear any devils. He didn't fear hunger, even though he hadn't eaten for 40 days, and he was out in a wilderness, far from the grocery store. Huh? He was far from the grocery store, and he hadn't eaten. So panic shows up. The devil, dressed as panic, shows up and begins to put pressure on him. Turn these stones to bread. You got to do something. You got to take care of yourself. You could starve to death. I mean, you're out here in the wilderness. Nobody would even hear you crying and screaming out here. And the Bible says the wild beasts were with him. So, I mean, there are wild beasts roaming around out there. You have snakes and you got lions and you got all kinds of things. And it's, again, it's pitch black. Jesus is all by himself at night for 40 nights in a wilderness. But he's not in fear. He's in total peace. He's believing and he stays parked. He stays in faith. The devil shoots his best shots at him. And what happens? He turns and flees. The devil fled from him as in terror. Praise. And you know what happened after that? Angels came and ministered to him. They probably did for him, the angels, even though it doesn't say it, they probably did for him what the angel did for Elijah out in the wilderness after Elijah had taken off running from Jezebel and he had gone about a 40-day journey. And he got out there in the wilderness and he woke up and the angel had prepared breakfast for him. He had food sitting there when he woke up. An angel had came and prepared food for him. Come on. Jesus is at that 40-day mark, and they say the physical body can't go past that 40 days. That's the max. And then things begin to break down, and it becomes very detrimental to a person's health to continue a fast after 40 days. Damage can be done that they can't recover from. Jesus is at that 40-day mark, and he's far from food. But he's resting. He's trusting. He believes that man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And his faith causes the devil to flee and angels to come and bake him a cake. Huh? His faith manifested that. That didn't just happen because he was Jesus. That happened because he believed the word. He spoke what he believed. He relied upon the word, and the word manifested the provision. Come on, or I say it this way. His faith manifested the word of God's provision. It brought the provision as promised in God's word. Trust in me, and all your needs are going to get met. Doesn't matter where you are. Doesn't matter what kind of situation you're in. God's going to provide for you. God is going to provide for you. You're not going to starve to death. You're not going to be homeless. You can't worry about these things. Huh? Only believe. Jesus believed the word. And the word, as a result of his believing, manifested the provision of God for him in that wilderness. Faith manifests. Faith causes angels to move into operation, and it causes things to go from the unseen into this seen realm, to come into the realm of the unseen into the realm of the seen. It causes the manifestation of God's word to come to pass. That's what this word fulfilled means. It wasn't Jesus fulfilling the letter of the word, you know, by doing what he did. It was Jesus manifesting the word. I think we see fulfilling, we think of something that a person's just doing in the natural to make happen. You know, they're working this thing out in the natural. No, he's diffusing. That's what fulfilling means. He's diffusing the word that was spoken. He's causing that word to become evident. He's taking possession of it. And that's what you and I are to do in life. You and I are to fulfill the word of God. And now we don't just have the Old Testament. Now we got the New Testament. So we're to be fulfilling, which is what? Validating, confirming, bringing into reality, causing to come to pass the word of God, causing it simply to manifest, be demonstrated or displayed. Display God's word. Notice here in Romans, the 8th chapter. You believe it, you display it. You believe it, and it becomes demonstrated. It is brought forth. Oh, hallelujah. Just by believing, we're fulfilling. How do you fulfill the word? Believe. You believe the word and it materializes. You believe it, and that's how you take possession of it. Right? That's how you take possession of it, through believing. He said in Mark, Jesus said in Mark 11, he said, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you'll have them. That word receive there means to take. Take. Believe that you take possession. Believe, faith, take possession. Faith takes possession. Faith takes possession. Believing takes possession. Believe that you receive them. Believe that you take possession of them. Be in faith about it, and you will have it. You will have it. It will materialize in your life if we stay in faith, if we continue to believe. Romans 8, verse 4. Well, let's go back to verse 3. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirements of the law might be what? Fulfilled. This is the same word over in Matthew 8:17, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken. That the law might be fulfilled. What's the law? What was spoken? And again, the law is, in Hebrew, the Torah. And the Torah refers to the first five books of the Old Testament: Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And obviously, that consists of a whole lot more than just a bunch of commandments. Because the Torah, it means teaching, instruction. So really, the law is not really the best translation of Torah. It's teaching. It's instruction. Okay? And we got that all through Genesis, Exodus, and so forth. And then right on through the rest of the Word of God. So you and I are to what? Fulfill the righteous requirements of the law. The righteous requirements of the law are to be fulfilled. What? Displayed, demonstrated, proven, diffused through our souls, diffused through our being, through us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So when we're walking according to the Spirit, what's happening? We're fulfilling the law. We're fulfilling God's teaching. We're fulfilling the Word. What are we doing? We're manifesting the Word of God. The Word is coming into manifestation through our life. That's what walking in the Spirit is. Walking in the Spirit is a manifestation of the law. It's a manifestation of the Word. You know, over there in Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 27, it says, I'll put my Spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. See, that was spoken by Ezekiel the prophet, that God would put his Spirit within you and cause you to walk in his statutes and keep his judgments and do them. So, you know, the New Testament didn't remove the law from our life. It causes the law, the teaching, the instruction of God's Word, the Old Testament, to be what? To be manifested through our life. It's manifested through our life as we yield to the Holy Spirit. Romans 13 in verse 8, it says, owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has what? Fulfilled the law. Fulfilled the law, has manifested the law. Over in Timothy, it says, the purpose of the commandment is love. The purpose of the law, the purpose of the Word of God, the ultimate purpose of the Word of God is what? Love. Love from a pure heart. That's the ultimate purpose. Why God gives us this Bible is so what? Is so love. Love can be manifested. Love can be manifested. So believing the Word, as we're getting in the Old Testament and the New Testament, as we're getting in there, our faith is growing. Faith comes by hearing, hearing the Word of God. As our faith is growing, what is happening? The Word is being manifested. And what is the ultimate manifestation of the Word? Love. Love is the ultimate manifestation of God's Word. Isn't that powerful? Hallelujah. So it's not about trying to do what God says. It's not about trying to do what God says. It's not about trying to love other people. It's about learning the Word and faith coming, and then staying in faith. And as you continue in faith, your faith manifests the Word of God. And the ultimate manifestation of God's Word is love. That's the ultimate manifestation. Did you get that? So love just comes out of us. We think love. We act love. Love just comes out of us. It's not something we're trying to walk in love with them. No, love oozes. Love oozes. Love is displayed. Love is demonstrated. Love comes forth from us as we what? As we believe the Word. Now, love's the ultimate. But, you know, there's all kinds of scriptural promises in here of God's provision, God's deliverance, all these, you know, wonderful promises. We got this promise book. You know, and you ever see a promise book that's full of all kinds of freedom from fear and how to deal with this issue and this issue and this issue and all these scriptures that are in there. And so we don't look at those scriptures and then try to do them in our life. What we do is we look at the scriptures and we believe. We believe the Word. And we believe this is who we are. This is what we're all about. This is what we've been made one with. And as we believe it, it all comes to pass. It all comes forth. It all manifests. That's why the Christian life is just a big rest. It's a big rest. It's a believing. And you believe it, and next thing you know, you don't know how you're going to get that provision. You don't know how it's going to happen, but you know, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. My God supplies all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Hallelujah, not worried about a thing. Praise God. Guess what's going to happen? Exactly that. Exactly what you believe. Exactly what you said. God is going to supply all your needs. And if it takes an angel materializing to bring it to pass, it'll happen. Because the Bible even tells us over in, Hebrews 13? It says, don't forget to entertain strangers, for some have unknowingly entertained angels. Come on! Angels, I mean, when you're in faith, entertain strangers. Because when you're in faith, God's going to use angels and whatever means he has to cause what you're believing to materialize in your life. And there are angels standing by. And I've seen it. I was in faith about something. I've shared it with you a long time ago about getting in a certain place. And everything was going against me. But I just kept singing, nothing is impossible when you put your trust in God. Nothing. And I just trusted, believed it. And I mean, it looked like it got worse and worse and worse from a natural standpoint. It looked like there's no way this is going to happen. And next thing I know, this little short man came, handed me what I needed to be able to get in to where I needed to go. And that man, I believe, was an angel. Had to be. I can't get into the whole story right now. I don't have time. But it's an awesome thing. I mean, whatever it takes. You stand in faith, it's got to happen. Because he gave us his word on it. This is God's word. If you believe it, you'll see it. It will happen. Doesn't that just get you excited about getting over into just believing? Getting over into that place and saying, my God, I'm going to get in faith and I'm going to stay there. I'm going to get in faith about this marriage. I'm going to get in faith about this money. I'm going to get in faith about my health. I'm going to get in faith about this or that or whatever else it might be. I'm going to get in faith and I'm going to park it there. And God will cause it to come to pass. That's his part. We believe. And then he said it. It's got to happen. That ain't on my end to try to make it happen. It's not my job to try to make it happen, whatever it might be. It's not my job to try to make it happen. That's God's job. And I believe it's going to be exactly the way he said it would be. It is exactly the way he said it is. My needs are met. He took my infirmities. He bore my sicknesses. I believe that. He's with me always, even to the end of the world. And he's God. And when you know God is with you and God is for you. I know this is now I'm talking real simple. I understand that. But oh my, to actually abide in this kind of believing, to be in this place of just believe. Wait a second. This is God. He's in me. He's with me. He ain't going to leave me or forsake me. He's for me. He's not against me. What would I be worried about? What can I overcome? What can I do? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The strength, the power, whatever is necessary, the wisdom, whatever it takes, it has to show up for us to be able to do it. Because we believe we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Can you say amen? Romans chapter 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Say that.
I'm not ashamed of the gospel.
You believe that?
Yes.
Good. Bring somebody with you to church Sunday. Oh, where'd you go? Bring somebody to church Sunday. You're not ashamed of this. You're proud of it. Proud in a good sense. I'm not talking about the pride that goes before a fall. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Is that what's written? Is that what's written?
Yes.
Then that's what's written concerning us, right? Say it again. I'm not ashamed of the gospel.
I'm not ashamed of the gospel.
Yeah, and then, of course, the Bible says the righteous are as bold as a lion. So are you the righteousness of God in Christ?
Yes.
So are you as bold as a lion?
Yes.
Sam is bold as a lion.
I'm
not ashamed of the gospel. That's who we are. That's who we are. Now we believe that. Praise God. Boldness now is manifesting. Boldness is manifesting. God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, a spirit of timidity. He hasn't given us that. Say, I'm not timid about anything. I don't have a spirit of timidity. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. You believe, man. And what happens? The gospel is power. The gospel power manifests in your life when you believe it. Verse 17, for in it, in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. The righteousness of God is revealed. So through the gospel, through God's word, God's righteousness is revealed. I looked up the word revealed just for fun. You know what I found out? It means in the Greek to disclose, to make bare, to make known. Yes, and make manifest. Make manifest. Everybody say make manifest. So let's look at that again. For in it, in the gospel, in the word of God, the righteousness of God is made manifest. How? From faith to faith. As we believe the gospel. As we believe the gospel, what happens? It, the gospel, the righteousness of God, the rightness of God, the right way to live, the right way to be, is what? Is revealed, is manifested from faith to faith. As we stand in faith, it manifests. And we continue in faith, we grow in faith. In his light, we see more light, and our faith grows. And what happens? More of that righteousness is manifested. More of that righteousness. Healing's a part of his righteousness. His provision, prosperity, it's a part of his righteousness. Are you with me? It's his word.
And it is revealed. It is manifested from faith to faith.
Oh, hallelujah.
The gospel of God, it goes from just being just words on a page to the power of God. The power of God in our life. Hallelujah. The power of God working in and through our life. Glory to God. Are you excited about the word being revealed?
Yes.
Manifested. Yes. How does it all happen? How do we walk in everything Jesus has plundered the darkness of? Only believe. Be in faith about it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Stay in faith about it and watch it all materialize in your life. Paul the Apostle said in Colossians 4:3, he said, meanwhile, praying for us that God would open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I might make it, the word of God, manifest as I ought to speak. As I'm speaking the word tonight, the purpose is to cause the word to be manifest in your life. That's the purpose. Not just for you to be taught something. That was a wonderful sermon. It was a wonderful homily. Thank you for the homily. No, he said that I might make it manifest as I ought to. It's got to be preached in such a way, glory be to God, by faith, that it causes faith to come alive in people. So what happens? So that what we're preaching manifests. Ooh, hallelujah. The goodness, the righteousness, the blessings, the provision of God, the healing of God is manifest in our life. Hallelujah. Come on, lift your hands and thank the Lord tonight.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.